Let's go. Everybody in. Come on in. Nobody standing in the back. Let's go. Everybody in. Get a seat. Well, I was thinking about what did they used to do back when they didn't have no air conditioning, no churches. Boy. Oh, boy. I preached a lot of them like that. A lot of them. When I got food, buddy, I was ringing wet. That's good for you. I don't like it, but it's good for you. So we'll just have to suffer here for a few minutes this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Now, I hope that everybody has made your plans to be with us tonight. Come back and be with us in the service. Pray the Lord's will be done. And I want you to come praying. Our choir practice is at 5 o'clock. And then, of course, the service will be at 6. And the choir going to sing Friday night. 5:30, the choir will leave here, going down to Mooresville to the Shepherd Baptist Church. Let's just, for time's sake, skip on over to the book of Ephesians, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read about one of the greatest themes of anywhere in the Bible this morning. And talk to you about the grace of God. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Good to see faces here I don't even know. Some we haven't seen in a long time. I'm honored that you come to church this morning. And my prayer is that God will speak to your heart. If you just look at me, you're going to be disappointed. But if you'll listen and hear the Bible and get it, look beyond me, maybe God's voice will speak to your heart through it. Good to see all of you here. All these bus kids, maybe you've never been before. My buddy over here, Brother Joel, me and him is going to sing a song at the end of the service. I ain't seen Joel in a long time. Amen. Good to see him here with us this morning. And Karen and a lot of different people. I hadn't seen in a long time. Appreciate you coming this morning. I hope you ain't disappointed. I always hope that at least you'll know when you leave here you've been to church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are you saved? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that good? If you could do anything to get to heaven, people would brag about it. People would get to heaven and they would say, you know what? I worked awful hard to get here. But let me tell you what all I did to get to heaven. There'd be people up there in heaven saying that. If you could work, it said, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a great big testimony service. And a lot of people think when you get to heaven that you're going to tell about all your problems and all your burdens and all you went through. Nah, it's like a woman when the baby's born, she forgets the pain. And when you get to heaven, you're going to forget all your problems down here. I hear people say, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, how come this? Listen, when you get to heaven, you'll be so different and so excited to be the Lord, you'll forget everything you had to suffer down here. Like that one guy said, he survived the Johnstown flood. You ever heard about him? The famous Johnstown flood. 3,700 people drowned. People were warned for years, months, whatever, and the dam broke, and this guy survived it. And buddy, he wanted to tell everybody how he survived the great Johnstown flood. And he couldn't wait. He said, when's my testimony? And the Lord said, hold on, somebody's in front of you. And they said, I want to tell about how I made it through the flood. The Lord said, just chill here. Somebody else in front of you. He said, I want to tell about, every time somebody give a testimony, he wanted to tell about his great experience. And he said, I want to give my testimony. And the Lord said, one more person's in front of you, and then we'll come on, Noah, you give your testimony right now. Now, when Noah got through, he didn't have no testimony. So when you think about all you've been through, there's always somebody been through worse than you have. There's always somebody got it worse than you have. So when we get to heaven, let me tell you something, people. When we get to heaven, we're not going to say, "Ain't you proud of me, God? I done all this stuff to get here." Buddy, when your foot steps through them pearly gates and your eyes behold the Son of God, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, and the glory of the throne, you have to have a new body to even endure looking at it, you will say, "By the grace of God, I'm here." Amen? And so that's what I want to preach to you about this morning, the grace of God. That's good news. Of all the subjects in the Bible, heaven, hell, judgment, redemption, grace, to me, is the most unfathomable. You can't comprehend what grace is. I'm not qualified to speak on this subject this morning. By the help of God, I shall try the best I can to explain it. And great men have tried. I wrote down here what some great men have said about grace. Their definitions are as follows. I don't know what you'd give as a definition of grace this morning, but great men have said this. Dr. R.E. Niebuhr said, quote, "Grace is the immeasurable and unmerited favor of God." Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, said, "Grace is something in God which is at the heart of all His redeeming activities." That's good. John Calvin said, "Grace is the pure liberality of God." And Dr. C.I. Scofield, the editor of the famous Scofield Bible, I believe said it best when he said this quote. He said, "Grace is the unmerited, unrecompensed, undeserved favor of God. It's something that you don't deserve, that you can never pay back, that you can never earn, but God gives it to you anyway." That's grace. That's His goodness. You know, when we give somebody something, usually we want something back. It's a trade-off. It's a swap. But grace is something that God does for you that you could never pay Him back for. The word grace, gracious, graciously, are over 200 times in the King James Bible. And let's look at it this morning. And the first thing I want to talk about is let's talk about the grace of God in salvation. The grace of God in salvation. Let your mind go back just for a minute to the night or morning or day that you got saved. Right now, when I count to three, I want you to remember the time and the place when you got saved. Ready? One, two, three. Think about it. Mine just flashed in my mind. It's a little spot of carpet. They don't have that carpet there no more. Right in front of the pulpit, about right here at Nebo Baptist Church, straight up that road right up there, about 15 miles from here. That's the time and the place that I got saved. I know where I was, and I know I was there when it happened. And I've never got over that. I noticed the grace of God in salvation. Now, I got myself into a mess when I was growing up, and I sinned. I was a born sinner. I was a sinner by birth. And then as soon as I got old enough, I became a sinner by choice. And so did you. When you was a little baby, you had your mama and daddy's sinful nature born into you. Now, that's exactly opposite from what the world teaches. The world teaches that man is born good, and the world, depending on where he lives, corrupts him. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Adam and Eve sinned, and it went into their kids, and 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 men, you got it from them. And that's what I believe. I believe that because the Bible says it. And your kids are natural born sinners. You don't have to teach a little kid to lie. They already know how. Where they learn that? They got it from you. And you got it from your parents. You have to teach them, "Now don't tell a lie, honey. Don't take that. It's not yours. Don't do this. Don't." You have to teach them not to do this, not to steal, not to lie. You are a sinner by birth. And then you are a sinner by choice. As soon as they get old enough, they'll start doing stuff. Every kid does that. They're a hypocrite, just like mamas and daddy. How do kids know how to say, "Mama said clean up your room"? They just lay in there watching TV, and they hear Mama coming down the hall, and they put the remote down and pick up the broom, you know? How do they know how to do stuff like that? They're little crooks in their head, buddy. The Bible said they're wicked, go astray. As soon as they're born, speaking lies, you mark it down. Not my sweet little devil. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Your sweet little brat is a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. And if you don't believe that, they're going to walk all over your heart one of these days. They sure will. Now listen, we're in a mess. How do we get out of it? A lock closes by itself. Like a padlock, it'll close by itself, but you can't open it without a key. You can close it by itself, but you can't open it without a key. So a sinner gets in, we get into sin and a mess by ourselves, but cannot get out without grace. There has to be that miracle working power of the grace of God. Like a rich man giving a farm to a poor man. Like a man that don't deserve it, but gets it anyway. It's like this. It's a voluntary act of kindness. If a man works and gets something for it, that's a wage. If he competes to somebody else and gets it, it's a prize. Or it's an award. If that man does something for service and gets it, it's an award. But when you can say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, and get it anyway, that's grace. And brother, that's exactly what I did. When that night I come to church, I fell down on my face and I said this, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You can't offer God nothing that's going to impress him. You can't do anything that's going to make God think, wow, there's a good person. I'm going to take him there. Listen, brother, it's strictly by grace. By grace, it's amazing grace. It's his grace that we're going to heaven, and I can shout on that today. Amen. I can't shout on my life. I sure can't shout about my preaching, but I can shout about God's grace. Grace, grace, wonderful grace in salvation. Hallelujah. You can see it. It's at work in people's lives. They said years ago that Queen Elizabeth, there's a lady, a French lady, tried to assassinate Queen Elizabeth. Sure did. And they found out about it, and they stopped her, and of course they give her the death penalty. And that woman was going to die, and Queen Elizabeth stepped up and said, I'm going to pardon you. You're completely cleared. You have nothing against you. And the woman fell at her feet and said, I'll serve you all of my life. She didn't serve her because she had to. She wanted to because the Queen pardoned her. You know why I'm trying to serve the Lord this morning? I'm not serving Him because I'm scared to go to hell if I don't. I'm not serving Him because I feel like, oh no, this is what I got to do. He pardoned me, brother. He pardoned me. He wiped my slate clean. He took my name off of the rolls of hell and put it in the book of life. And I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'm going to fall at His feet and serve Him the rest of my life. That's why you owe it to the Lord. If you're saved, you owe it to God to serve Him. You say, well, boy, I'm not used to a preacher screaming and hollering. That's because you've been going to the wrong kind of church. It ain't my fault. Listen, brother, if a man can have something this good to say and not holler about it, that's something wrong with his voice. I'm telling you, this is the good news, the grace of God in salvation. Hallelujah. It's the grace of God that takes us from and does these works in our heart. But let me say secondly this morning, I'm going to talk about the grace of God in demonstration. I said the grace of God in salvation, the grace of God in demonstration. According to the Bible, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it said who, when he had come and seen the grace of God. What a verse of Scripture. Look it up when you get home. Acts 11:23. It said Paul, one of them guys, come to this city, and he said he's seen the grace of God. Can you actually see the grace of God? According to the Bible, he's seen them people that had served idols. He saw those people that had worshipped devils. And he saw how their lives has changed. And he said, I see the grace of God. I can see the grace of God working in people. I've seen the grace of God working, Brother Andy and Kurt and all these guys and Jason and these boys up here. I've seen the grace of God working these young men at youth camp. I saw it. You can see. Some of y'all have seen the grace of God in my life. I hope you have. I've seen it in yours. I'm glad you can see grace, brother. You can see grace. It said he'd seen the grace of God. I'm telling you, I saw it one time when I heard about this young man down at the riverbank. And this boy was going to commit suicide. And he had had it all. I mean, had it all. Had all he could stand. And he took a gun down to the riverbank. And he got this gun, and he's about ready to pop that trigger back there, or that hammer back there, and pull that trigger. And all of a sudden, he heard something. And when he heard this, it sounded like a sound he wasn't used to. and he saw a light through the woods, and there's a little old cottage over there, and he said, "That's a strange sound. What is that?" And he walked a little bit closer, and he said the closer he walked, the better that sound sounded. And it was a bunch of Christians having a cottage prayer meeting. And is over there singing the songs that we sing here in church. And he kept getting closer and closer. He said, "That's a strange sound. I hadn't heard that since I was a little boy." And a lot of people hadn't heard it since I was a little boy. Hadn't heard it ever. There's people sitting in prison, probably going to be hearing me preach this sermon on the radio. And it's been years since they heard them old songs that we sing in church. "Victory in Jesus, power in the blood, when we all get to heaven." And boy, that sound drawed him and drew him and drew him and drew him. And he finally went and heard the preaching and got saved. You know what that is? The grace of God reached out there and grabbed him right before suicide and pulled him in. That's the grace of God in demonstration. Now you can see God's grace working. Said this boy one time. Said he's gone to Bible college. And in Bible college, the professor stood up and he said this. He said, "Gentlemen," he said, "I'm going to give you an assignment." And he said, "I want you to come back. I'm going to give each one of you a word. Redemption, hell, heaven, all these things." And he said, "You come back Monday." And he said, "I want you to give me the definition or your analysis of that word." And young man sat there, he'd been raised on a farm, been taught about God all his life, been to church all his life, got saved, called to preach. And that boy's sitting there and he said, the professor said, "Your word is grace." He said, "I want you to tell me the word grace." And boy, he thought, "Boy, I got an easy one. Everybody knows that." And the more he thought about it, the harder it was. And he got thinking about that thing and he went home and he thought, "I don't know if I can tell what grace is or not. I don't know if I can even give a definition of grace. I love it and I sing about it and I've heard it all my life and I feel like I have it in my heart. But I don't know if I can tell them, my class, how can you define grace?" So he went home that weekend to stay with his parents. He thought, "Boy, Mama's been saved a long time." He said, I'm going to go ask Mama what the word grace means. He went in the kitchen that day. There stood his old gray-haired, white-headed Mama. And she had on an old print dress and an apron on, standing there wiping around the sink. And where she had fixing dinner, she had the windows open, you know, and they didn't have air conditioning. Apple trees out in the yard, you know. All these old grannies that raised these old preacher boys across the country. He said, Mama, I want you to help me. He said, "I got to tell the class Monday morning what the meaning of the word grace is. Mama, I don't know if I can do it. Can you help me?" His old mama thought there for a minute, wiped her brow, and laid down that dish rag, and kind of wiped her hands on her apron. She said, "Son," she said, "I don't know." She said, the only way I can explain the word grace is," she said, "the first verse of that old song." She said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And he said, "Thank you, Mama. That was good." And boy, he said, he went out to the barn. And he said, his old daddy was out there working. And he said, Daddy, "I got to define the word grace Monday morning at school." He said, and he told him what Mama had done. He said, "Daddy, can you help me? What am I going to say to him?" And Daddy looked around. He had been out there on a plow and plowing them old mules and had his old overalls on. He stopped, put his pitchfork over here in the corner, and he said, "Son, all I know is," he said, "it was grace that taught my heart to fear. As grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, not the hour I first believed." He said, "Thank you, Daddy. I needed to hear that." And boy, it started stirring in his soul. I mean, you might not write what grace means down on a piece of paper. They may not be a definition of it in the dictionary. But he went to school that Monday morning, and the professor said, "Now, son," he said, "I want you to stand up and tell the class what the meaning of the word grace is." He went through the whole weekend. He told what Mama said. He told what Daddy said. And he said, "Folks, all I know is that third verse, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. And about that time, big tears started coming down the face of that old professor, and everybody in there was weeping. And he said, let's sing the last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Let me tell you something, people. You hear me this morning. We got in on the little end of something big. When you got saved, something got a hold of you. It's God's grace. He's brought us through all these years. He's took us through last year. He's taken us through this year. And by the grace of God, we'll land safe on heaven's shore. One day, saved by the grace of God. What a day that's going to be. I'm telling you, you can't define it. You can't explain it. It's unfathomable, God's grace is. Amen. They said one time, they said old Longfellow could take a piece of paper and write a poem on it and sell it for $6,000. That's the power of genius. Rockefeller could sign his name on a piece of paper and make that piece of paper worth $1 million. That's the power of capital. Uncle Sam can take a stamp and stamp a little old green piece of paper, put an eagle on a piece or a coin, and make it a $20 gold piece. That's the power of money. A mechanic can take a $500 car and work on it a little while and do some things to it and make it a $5,000 car. That's skill. An artist can take a canvas and work on it and turn it into a $1 million painting. That's the power of gifts and talent. But God, you know what God can do? God can take an old line, cussing, hippie hopping, pill popping, liquor drinking, wife beating reprobate, and turn them into an honest, law-abiding, clean-cut, Bible-believing, street-preaching, soul-winning deacon, brother. And that's the power of grace. It's beyond anything this world has to offer. Nothing can compare with the grace of God. I tell you, you ought to, listen, you look at this church here this morning, you see some rough-looking characters in here, but you ought to have seen them before God got a hold of them. Amen. Only the Lord can do that. There's a bunch of old boys got saved up in Marion one time, and one of them boys down there, one of them garages right down the street, said, yeah, old Danny Castle got them down there and brainwashed them. And I told him, I said, I wouldn't know how to brainwash somebody if I tried. I don't care. I said, the Lord blood washed them boys, and you better give the credit where the credit's due. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that'll make you lay that joint down and pick up a King James Bible. It's the grace of God, brother, that'll make you pour the beer down the sink and right down the commode, brother, and put you on a shirt and tie and go to the house of God. It's the grace of God that makes you want to get up and sing in the choir and give you money and pray and witness to other people. That's God's grace in demonstration. Let me say thirdly this morning, I'm going to talk about God's grace in separation. I said, first of all, God's grace in salvation. Second, God's grace in demonstration. Number three, God's grace in separation. The book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now we Baptist preachers a lot of times are falsely accused of giving people a license to sin. Have you ever heard that? People say, oh, you Baptists, you believe in that old once saved, always saved. You just tell people they can live like a devil and it's all right. I don't know one Baptist preacher anywhere ever. I've never heard a Baptist preacher say you can live like a devil and it's all right. Never. Just because we believe you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing, don't believe you can just get out here and do anything you want to and it'd be all right. Now, you can get out here and do anything you want to. And if you're really saved, God will knock your head off. That's right. He will. He said He would and He will. He's a good parent. He'll whip you. But what you do or don't do has absolutely no effect on your salvation, brother. It's not your good works. It's not your bad works. It is the gift of God. Amen. That's right. Now you'll reap what you sow, brother. And the grace of God will teach you to be saved. You say, well, if you tell people they're just saved by grace and their life ain't got nothing to do with it, they'll go out and live like a devil. Uh-uh. The Bible said the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. I mean, you still stay in Hollywood and sip on cocktails and make dirty movies and live like the devil and all that and say, well, I'm saved by grace. That ain't grace. That's a disgrace. That's bringing shame to the name of God. You cannot abuse the grace of God like that and get away with it. We are saved by grace. Our works don't have nothing to do with it. But I'm telling you what, brother, the grace of God will teach you that you're supposed to do right. And when you do wrong, your conscience will bother you. And you'll be under such conviction, it'll drive you crazy. I thank God the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Like Brother Derek mentioned in Sunday school, when you take a step the wrong way, you know it. If you're saved. When you do something you shouldn't do. You know what? Every time anybody ever asked me, is this right or wrong? They're always just wanting somebody to go ahead and tell them it's alright so they can do it. 999 times out of 1,000, you know good and well when you do something wrong. Buddy, I do. I don't have to ask nobody if something's wrong. Man, my something inside me goes, like a little dart goes in there, and I thank God that it does. Don't ever drown out your conscience. Don't ever drown out that conviction. That's good for you. Somebody told me one time, they said, I just wish God would leave me alone. You better shut up. I mean, you better thank God that thing's keeping you in line, keeping you out of jail, keeping you out of prison, keeping you out of the AIDS ward. I'm telling you, it'll keep you out of trouble. Listen, thank God, that's the grace of God in separation. Amen? That's balanced preaching this morning, brother. You hear me? We're saved by grace. It's a gift of God plus nothing. But the grace of God will teach you to live right. And when you don't, it'll bother you. And when you take a step out of line, your conscience will drive you crazy. That's the grace of God in separation. Amen? It sure will. Brother, it'll bother you. I'm not all I should be. I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all people expect me to be. I'm not all God wants me to be. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm sure not what I used to be by the grace of God. I like them little bumper stickers. Sometimes them little kids. Right, them shirt says, be patient. God is not through with me yet. You know that little song said, he's still working on me. He still make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. That's the truth if you ever heard it. He's still working on you. What happens when you get saved, the Holy Ghost starts chiseling like a chisel. And the Bible said he's going to conform you to the image of his son. He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. So, when I first got saved, I've done things. I mean, since I've been saved, I've done things. And the Lord says, pow! Pow! I said, Lord, I don't want to get my hair cut. Pow! Lord, I don't want to give up my rock and roll. Pow! He chisels off everything that ain't like Jesus. And you better let him do some chiseling. Because you're going to be in for a drastic change when the rapture comes. I mean, when you talk about a change, some people's really in for one when the Lord comes back. The more you let him chisel on you now, the less you change you're going to go through then. It's like that fellow one time, he said, he had this great big old rock like this. And he was up on a ladder, and he had a little chisel, and he's going, ding, ding, ding. And somebody come up and said, what in the world's that? He said, it's an elephant. He said, I don't look like no elephant. He said, well, it is. He said, how are you going to make that thing look like an elephant? He said, all you got to do is knock off everything that don't look like an elephant. And you got one? That's right. Now, that's true, man. That'd be easy. Oh, you got anything that don't look like an elephant? Chisel it off. Now, what you got to do, when you get saved, you're just a big old blob, and the Lord starts chiseling on you. He wants to knock off everything that's not like Jesus Christ. And when he conform you to the image of his son, that's the grace of God in separation. But let me say number four quickly this morning. I want to talk about the grace of God in desperation. In desperation. Did you know, in time of sorrow, in time of need, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient for me. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when the time comes for grace to be there, it'll be there. I like that song, I believe old Tom Hayes wrote about new grace, and he said, grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace when it's my time to go. There was grace the night I got saved, and God forgive me of all my sins. There was grace as a young man when I went through troubles and trials and burdens and all. There was grace. I couldn't feel it then. I couldn't see seeth in. Now I look back and I see that it was God's grace. There's grace. Some of y'all know the burdens I've had, the problems I've had, the battles I've faced. Some of y'all know me real well. And you know that. And say, what makes old Danny keep going like that? How does he do? I'll tell you what it is, brother. It's the grace of God. It was God's grace through many dangers, toils, and snares. Hallelujah. God's grace always brings us through. Thank God. And I'm trusting that grace take me the rest of the way. Amen. It's God's grace. I thought about this. I've heard people come up to me and they say, Brother Danny, you know, I hear preachers get up and talk about dying grace, dying grace. Man, pray for me. I don't believe I've got that. And I said, I ain't either. And they said, well, you're a preacher. You ain't got dying grace. And I said, Lord, no. They said, why? Because I ain't dying. What do you need dying grace for if you ain't dying? But I got the faith that the Lord, at the time, when the time comes, that's how I know I ain't dying right now. I ain't got no dying grace. If it kicks in, look, call up there and get me a place. Hey, get me a casket or something. If I start getting up here saying I got dying grace, but I'm telling you this morning, I believe when it's my time to go, dying grace is going to kick in. Right now, I don't have the grace it would take to face a roaring lion. And I reckon because there ain't no roaring lion. Or something. And I'm telling you, there was a million people out there. There was like 8 lanes of traffic and it was stopped. And I was sitting in the middle of traffic, and I don't mean this bad or cruel. I was the only white person. It looked like 10,000 people around me. And I was sitting there. It's 2:00 in the morning. They had just got out of a concert, and Sunday was drunk and sitting out on the car hoods because the traffic was stuck. And everybody's out on the car hoods partying, music blaring. And I was sitting there like this. I thought, I'm not going to look at nobody. Because if I look at them, what are you looking at? You know, and come over here and cut my head off. You say, preacher, you're scared. You better believe I was scared. You say, couldn't you? I could only shot one or two. What am I going to do with the other 10,000? And I was sitting there saying, oh, Lord. Please wake somebody up at home and let them pray for me. Everybody always said, we'll be praying for you, Brother Danny. I was driving all night the other night. Carrie called me. Linda Hout called me. Brandon called me. I had about 3 or 4 phone calls. You all right, Brother Danny? Are you driving good? Yeah. About 1:00, they couldn't care if I wrecked and got killed. They all went to bed. But I appreciate they at least cared till 1:00. I said, dear God, wake somebody up. Let them pray for me. And I'm telling you, man, I was scared. I wanted my sunroof closed. I locked my doors. I just sat there and said, Lord, we finally eased on out of there. Amen. That's the grace of God in desperation. I had to go through that whether I had any grace or not. But I'm telling you, sometimes we face things in life that we have no control over. Thank God the grace of God kicks in. I'll say this and I'm through this morning. The grace of God in glorification. A message on grace wouldn't be complete unless I talked about how it's all going to wind up. In Ephesians chapter 2, it said that in the eons, the billions of years ahead of time, that He might show in us exceeding riches of His grace toward us. One of these days, God's going to take His children, folks. Are you listening? One day, He's going to take His youngins and put them up there on that shelf and make us trophies of grace so the whole universe can see. And the angels will say, what about that? Angels don't even know how to sing Amazing Grace. Cherubims and seraphims don't know how to sing Amazing Grace. They'll all back up and get quiet as God's youngins redeemed from sin down here on this old world. All us old rednecks here from Shining Light will walk in there, boy. I mean, think about that. The devil, them old demons out there saying, they don't deserve it, they don't deserve it. I saw what they did. Kick them out, throw them in hell. And God will say, shut up, move back here. Come on in, kids. And we'll walk in there, woo! Hallelujah. And we'll sing grace, grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, brother. And we'll shout the victory and praise God forever and ever and ever. A trophy of the grace of God. I don't know what you've done this morning or where you've been. And I don't care. I'll guarantee you there's somebody sitting here this morning. You feel like God would never forgive you for what you've done. But I'm going to tell you this morning, He's got enough grace. There's enough money in the bank to pay for what you've done wrong. What you ought to do this morning, if you got brain in your head,
would be to get out of your seat, humble yourself in front of God, and bow here at this altar and say, "Dear Lord, I want you to forgive me. I need grace. I can't pay you back, Lord. I can't live good enough to make up for what I've done. And Lord, I don't ever want to do nothing wrong again, but I can't promise you. Lord, I'm a sorry, low-down dog. But by your grace, I need help, and he'll help you today. The grace of God in glorification." Let's stand this morning by our